Today's episode is supported by Chitalia, and you can discover the real Italy with Chitalia because they are the UK's leading Italian holiday specialists. Chitalia has been helping guests discover the best of Italy for 95 years. Their experience and expertise, together with attention to detail and personal touch, really does make them the leading Italian holiday specialist. So if you're tempted to visit Italy after hearing Giovanni talk about his homeland of Sicily today, from the beautiful city of Palermo to the shores of Termina, then Chitalia's team of Italy experts can help make that happen. They are there to create your perfect stay. All bookings are backed by Chitalia's Travel with Confidence promise, which gives a refund guarantee, free amendments, and free cancellation up to 3 weeks before departure. Discover the real Italy with Chitalia, the UK's leading Italian holiday specialist. Head to chitalia.com, that's C-I-T-A-L-I-A.com, to find out more. Thank you to Chitalia. Hello and welcome to season 11 of the Travel Diaries podcast. I'm your host, Holly Rubenstein, and here each week I'll be speaking to a very special guest, or in this case, very special guests, about the different chapters of their life's travel diaries, from the first place they fell in love with and the place where they learned the most about themselves to their hidden gem and what's at the top of their travel bucket list. We'll be uncovering their adventures around the world and the travel experiences and destinations that have shaped their lives. Oh, well, it's great to be back for a brand new season. I'll be joining you for the next few months every Tuesday with a weekly dose of guaranteed wanderlust. Make sure you hit follow on your podcast app that you're listening to the show on right now. It's free and it means that you'll get each episode every week. By doing so, you're also really helping to support the podcast. It has been so great hearing about the places that you've been traveling to since we last spoke. Thank you for all your messages on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. Speaking of Instagram, actually, I am running my biggest competition yet this week over on my account at Holly Rubenstein, giving you the chance to win a stay in a 3-bedroom apartment at one of my all-time favorite places to visit in the UK, the Lakes by You in the beautiful Cotswolds. Oh, I am so excited about this. You've got a week to enter. Make sure you check it out for the chance to win a trip of a lifetime. I've been away as well. At the start of the year, I was really grateful to tick a destination off my bucket list and headed to the Dolomites, which is a destination that's come up loads on the podcast. I remember Michael Palin picking it as one of his favorite places. And although I'm not a skier, my husband Alex is, I knew that I would want to see the spectacular scenery and, you know, be in the beautiful mountain environment. And, you know, it completely lived up to my expectations and more, and proved to me that you really don't actually need to be a skier to have an incredible holiday in the mountains. We stayed in two different areas. The second I'll be talking about on next week's family travel special of the podcast, because it was a hotel that was designed specifically with children in mind. But this week, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about my experience staying in Val Gardena on the Alpe de Suisse, one of Europe's most extensive high altitude plateaus. Oh, absolutely spectacular part of the Dolomites. We stayed at a hotel called Como Alpina Dolomites, which was quickly anointed into the all-time favorites list. I mean, architecturally, as a first impression, it is spectacular. Give it a Google, Como Alpina Dolomites. It's this circular modernist building which is enveloped in these like really dramatic wooden arches which mimic the mountains that surround it, and it's extremely striking, like something from a Bond movie. It took ski in, ski out to a whole new level. Our room was directly next to a piste, and I would literally be like in the bath or sitting on the bed and see these skiers whizzing past the window, including my husband, who said that the skiing was some of the best he'd ever experienced, by the way, because it's part of the Dolomiti super ski area. But yeah, it was such a thrill to see all these skiers go by. And for me, it was really one of those rare gem hotels that felt truly spoiling and chic, you know, stunning interiors, a vast spa, you know, for many Como the Como brand, there are other Como hotels, is first and foremost a spa brand, and it was really big here. And there was that indoor-outdoor pool looking over the mountains. I loved being in that like toasty warm water surrounded by snow. But while being all of those things, it also really catered to families, and there was a lovely kids club. They provided all the gear that you'd need. There was a playground there with one of the best views ever and an adorable ski school just outside for tinies. So it's one to add to your travel bucket list for sure. And for me, certainly, I've also had lots of people come on the podcast and talk about the Alps in the summer, and it would be a place that I would love to go back to for that, because it is part of that big plateau, that big meadowy plateau that's so high. The hiking and the biking and the scenery there would just be amazing. So thank you, Como Alpina Dolomites, for having us. It was a very memorable stay. Okay, let's get on to today's guests. Kicking off the season, we are joined by a dazzling duo who are set to waltz their way into your hearts. Stars of Strictly Come Dancing and heading into a second season of their much-loved travel show, Anton and Giovanni's Adventures. It is none other than Anton Dubek and Giovanni Panice. I spoke to Anton and Gio in London a couple of weeks ago in person at a dance studio, which was like something out of Fame. It was like all these sprawling little rooms filled with people singing and whooping, and there was like music blaring from every corner. So if you hear the odd vocal warm-up or some little echoey bits in the background, that is why. It wasn't my normal setup. But it was so fun to meet them both. You'll instantly get a feel for, you know, their cheeky energy and the banter they have between them. Their friendship is just so visible and lovely. I've watched Strictly since season one. I don't know about you guys, but can you believe that was 20 years ago? 20 years, crazy. And Anton's been a part of the show since the very beginning. You know, he's a seasoned dance floor veteran, first as a contestant and now as a judge over the last few years. And then Giovanni entered with a bang back in 2015, reaching the final three times and then winning with EastEnders actress Rose Ailing Ellis in 2021. Of course, that really memorable season. And from Strictly, you know, these guys are absolutely nonstop with their own individual tours and joint tours. Anton's writing books and, of course, the Strictly tours as well. And because there are two of them, you know, I don't normally do paired interviews. The only other one I've done was with the lovely Harry Bikers. So sad about Dave Myers passing. What a lovely man. Such an infectious energy in one of my favourite episodes. But because there were two of them today, I didn't cover all seven chapters. I managed to squeeze in six. So we'll have to find a time to do a sequel sometime and find out the first place that they fell in love with then. But with Anton being, you know, half Spanish and half Hungarian, and Giovanni being Italian, growing up in Sicily, travel has obviously played a really important part of both of their lives. And I really hope you have a laugh with us on this one. So let's fasten our seatbelts and get started. Giovanni Panice.
Yes.
Nice.
Anton Dubek.
Nice.
Welcome to the Travel Diaries podcast. It is amazing to see you both. How are you?
Very, very. We're delighted to be here because we were talking the other day, weren't we, over coffee? And I said to you, what do you want to do?
And I say, a podcast.
Which one? I said. And you said to me, I want to do the Travel Diaries. We've never been asked. And you went, I'm so disappointed.
We're delighted to be here. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. My biggest fan, clearly.
Obviously.
100%.
We've got a lot to cover today, guys. Because we're going through the six chapters of your life's travel diaries. But
Crikey.
Because you've travelled together a lot, some of them are going to be individual and some of them are going to be your joint chapters.
Yes.
So I'm really excited to uncover some of the destinations that have shaped your lives. Let's kick off with chapter one. We're gonna picture, you know, it's a rainy day outside. We're gonna probably picture some lovely sunny climbs.
Just
well,
for
certainly
a
with Giovanni, actually. We'll kick off with you.
Go ahead.
Gio. Chapter one is your earliest childhood travel memory. Oh. What would that be?
Oh, I remember when, well, travel, you say travel, but it's very, very close to where I live, Palermo. I told you this story when we were in Sicily. Shaka. I used to remember going on holidays with my parents for the carnival over there. It used to be a massive, massive deal for us going to the carnival in Shaka, which is only an hour and a half, really, from where I live. But I remember the whole family getting together and trying to find the costume to wear for carnival and preparing. Like was a massive, massive deal for us.
And you travelled a lot around Sicily, obviously your home island, and then you took Anton there. Mm-hmm. What was it like taking your best pal over to your homeland?
Potentially the best thing ever done in my entire life.
Oh, love.
I mean, was a success in every single possible way. You know, I showed my best friend where I was born and raised and had fun together and got paid for it. So,
so even better.
Almost.
Even better.
I mean, Sicily's had a bit of a like tourism renaissance, hasn't it? Because of White Lotus, the White Lotus effect, and everyone is flocking there. Oh yeah, and you guys, of course.
Some Lotus.
So, what's your favourite destination within Sicily? Would you say?
I do like, obviously, where I'm from, Palermo, but also like Taormina.
Taormina
was nice. Mm. We call it the Saint-Tropez of Sicily. There's everything in there, literally everything. It's very, very remarkable place when you go if you want to go on holidays, because the beach are beautiful and because. You know, there's a lot of luxury and the views. Well, the views when you're there, I was distracted because I was looking at you all the way.
Well, I'm blind.
Yeah, I'm only human. But I think Taormina and Palermo was the best place to go and see.
So you do these kind of road trips around the island with your family?
Well, yeah, kind of. You know, it's very small, Sicily. You know, it's very small. So once you've done two or three times, you don't repeat yourself.
Yeah.
So we're trying to go a bit north with the family. But now, you see, now I'm getting a bit older. I want to go back to the roots myself. And I realized that actually Sicily is a beautiful part of the world. So we'll have to explore a bit more of that.
And how about you, Anton? Because I know that kind of long drives, long road trips also featured in your summer holidays.
Well, when we were young, we used to summer. Sounds very glamorous, doesn't it, when you say it like that? Because my mum's Spanish, my father's Hungarian, we would go back to the family. So we would drive. So we would drive for 2 days across Europe. So we'd get the ferry over to Calais, and then in the car, and off we'd go. And we'd drive either to northern Spain in Galicia, or across to down to Hungary. So that was our summers.
Yeah, it's a long way to go.
Long way.
And you and your siblings, like, all packed in the back of the car?
Yeah, but it was my sister and I at the time. But, you know, old cars, like, you know, no air conditioning. You want air conditioning.
Seatbelts?
No seatbelts. No, you want air conditioning. Wind the window down. So, and we'd sleep in the car and no luxury, like, hotels and stuff. Mm. Sleep in the car.
Would you look forward to it?
Not massively.
Yeah.
No, it'd be nice when you got there. It seems exciting now. It seems sort of romantic now. You jump in a car and you drive. I mean, imagine just getting in the car and driving from here to Spain or to the
nice
south
Porsche.
Of France in a nice open top Vehicle. It's something nice. No, in a Vauxhall Viva, some of the romance is lost.
And did you prefer going to Hungary or Spain?
Well, do you know, interestingly, Spain was better because we had the seaside. We had Lake Balaton in Hungary, but that wasn't where we'd have to. That wasn't where my father came from. He came from the country, so it was the countryside, so it was very rural. Both of them were very rural parts of the world. But in
also
Spain...
Very different as well, isn't it?
Oh, massively different, yeah. And then, but the Spain was closer to the seaside, so we would go to the seaside, spend a lot of time at the seaside.
Lovely. And then this time that you spent in Spain obviously inspired your forthcoming series.
Yes.
All set in Spain, so it's a good opportunity...
Segued.
For you to tell us a little bit about what we can expect.
Oh, you can expect anything and more from that, really. I mean, the most important thing was the fact that we were together. But what we explore in Spain was not just the beautiful places and the weather, which was incredible, but food as well. And we had sort of fun activities together. Water sports.
We're great at water sports.
You are not actually great.
I say
water
great.
Sport.
I would expect you both to be because you're very nimble.
Well, no, we are nimble. And
we tried once. I tell you what, we tried in Sicily. We tried paddle boarding. And that one didn't go very well. So, two clever people.
I don't know what paddle boarding's like, to be honest with you, because I never managed to get on a board or paddle.
Yeah. Which you might think would be fine for us because we are dancers.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way at all.
No, it didn't. So, we two clever people, we tried paddle boarding in Sicily, it didn't work. So, we tried to do, again, something else in Spain. And that one didn't work either.
What did you do this time?
We did attempt to surf.
Surfing.
Had you tried before?
No. No, and it didn't go well.
Where in Spain were you trying that?
Not that.
Where did you go? North. In Bilbao,
which is known for its surf, isn't
yeah.
it? So you were going to kind of like one of the surfing capitals of Europe.
And one of the nudist beaches of Europe.
Yes.
Surfing with on the nudist beach?
Yeah.
That's what we did.
Well,
yeah.
That's why you didn't stay on the boards too long, because you toppled off.
Yeah.
Too much distraction. Who stayed on longest?
Me.
Well, I don't know, because neither of us got on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Gorka did.
Did Gorka meet you out there?
Yeah, we met Gorka out there. He was lovely. But it was super. It's a lovely... Do you know what was really fun about Spain and doing the trip in Spain? Was that... We managed to get up to where my mum comes from in that part of in Galicia and had a look around there, and my family came over and my mum came over and we took Giovanni across there and showed all that sort of stuff, which was lovely. But the other interesting part was that we went and visited sort of a lot of undiscovered Spain that, you know, a touristy bit. We didn't really do, well, apart from one touristy bit. We started in Sevilla, which is a beautiful city. So that was a lot of fun. And then we went across and we went to Ronda.
Oh,
Granada.
Madrid.
And we went up to Madrid and up to Bilbao, San Sebastian.
So it was a really comprehensive tour in a way, yeah. Mm-hmm.
As we were going across to Ronda and Granada, we dipped into another sunny part by the sea, Benidorm, and it was an experience. It was less Spanish than I think.
I've renamed it. It's the Dubai of Spain.
The Dubai of Spain.
Yes, it's the Dubai of Spain. Love Benidorm.
Love
my
Benidorm.
Mother.
Do you have any full Englishes while you were there?
Oh. You've been more than bargained for.
We did have a lot of English.
Yes, it was very
English full.
And Galicia, where your mum is from.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that.
Well, it's very green, very leafy,
sunny.
Mountainy. Yeah, very sunny. It's very lush. The food is incredible up there. The produce is remarkable. I think it's the sort of number one part of Spain for food and produce.
Yes.
Yeah.
And actually, we discovered the fact that we start from the south, Anton said, and the food was getting better and better.
Further north,
to the north of Spain.
Yeah. Yeah, and then San Sebastian.
And San Sebastian is just the best place. Yeah. Do you know, the number one restaurant in the world from a period of, for about 10 years, so 8 out of 10, 11 years, the number one restaurant in the world was El Bulli in Spain, just north of Barcelona. So towards the north of Spain.
Yeah.
It's shut down now. It's become a food sort of school, if you like. But it was the number one of all the cuisines around the world.
Yeah. And when it wasn't that was El Celer de Can Roca in Girona was the
Girona,
one.
Yeah, Girona in Spain
was
as
also.
Well.
She said that fantastically.
Yeah, she did.
I tried to employ my Spanish A-level accent.
Tu guardas español?
No, un poquito.
It's a poquito.
That's good enough.
Sí.
Un
chorizo.
¿Habla español, Anton?
Sí. Gracias.
Yeah. Well, that's about it.
Claro.
Sí, claro.
Right.
Well, actually, speaking about being learned, chapter 2 is the place where you guys learnt the most about yourselves. I want to ask this separately.
This takes me back to my adolescence. Are we talking about that or something else?
Wherever. Whenever you had a profound moment.
Well, I've had a lot of them.
Profound moment for me was when I moved to Bologna, actually, when I was 14 years old, and I left home and I went to Bologna to carry on dancing. And that was the only time when I was living by myself.
Yeah.
So when you're a little teenager, really, and you get to live by yourself, is the time when you really grow up and get to learn more about yourself, get to know about what you need in life. So that was my profound moment, as you called it.
Yeah. I'd read that you left home at 14, and I mean, it's incredibly young. What gave you that kind of incentive, that determination? I mean, obviously, I know it was to move to dance, but how did you, have that certainty that you knew that that was the right thing to do?
You see, Sicily is a very small island, so there's not much going on there. and I wanted to carry on to follow my dreams and, you know, look around and see what Sicily can give me as in opportunities, and we're not much there. So I just spoke to the family. Mum and dad always been supportive, and, you know, they were supporting me financially, and we all took the decision, and that's it, that happened. Yeah. This is 20 years ago, my
darling. Where did you move to? You went from Sicily to Bologna.
Yes.
And who did you stay with in Bologna?
On my own.
Wow. You stayed with your own? Mm. And you had a partner, or did you?
No, just on my own.
As you know, as a parent, I mean, that seems.
I can't imagine it. No, I can't, as a parent, I can't imagine it. I think about me at 14. I couldn't. Yeah. Imagine. I only just started dancing.
Yeah, but you see, you say that. But if George or Rara would tell you, "Dad, I really want to do this," you would be the first person who will support your kids. You would be the you would be the person to say, "Right, okay, let's talk about this, and we're gonna find a solution." Because if is that what you want to do. You, person annoying you, you would be the person who really would make all of this happen. Imagine, so it's a difficult thought, but you would be the person who will make
it. It's an extraordinary thing.
It was the right thing to do. It led, you know.
Look at him now.
Exactly. Like you don't, no regrets.
No regrets. Actually, I was very lucky to take the decision, really, to be honest. And I was grateful to my parents to give me the opportunity, the chance to...
That independence.
Very bright.
Yeah,
very bright.
That independence. And am I right in thinking, Gio, that you used to watch the original Strictly Come Dancing, Come Dancing, and that kind of was what inspired you to get into dancing?
Mm, with the lovely Angela Rippon, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I used to watch all of it, and I did love the sequence and the dance and the chemistry between the boys and the girls, and I was like, well, this is exactly what I have to do for the rest of my life. And you know, and that's it. It was
never
like,
one to be under dramatic.
never go back.
Yeah, I mean, how then incredible was it then when you kind of made it?
It was a proud moment, obviously, but you say you made it, but I don't think I still have made it anything. You live life every day as it come, and you know, for me, it's not. I want to live my life not having regrets, because you know, I always say the regrets that we have today are the chances that we never took, and that's true. It's true. It really is true.
Shut up. The regrets I had today were the chances I never took. Who've you been talking to?
That's the line of my show.
Wow. Talk about a strap line for a show.
But it's true.
It's true.
We all should live our life at full.
Yes,
you know,
so true.
And take chances and opportunities. And that chance opportunity came to me and I took it.
You never want to be lying on your deathbed at the end of your life and somebody says to you, do you wish you'd tried a bit harder? You want to be able to go, no, I couldn't have tried any harder. I tried my best.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
There was no... I was redlining it every single minute of the day. Yeah. There is no...
And to be fair, trying to get this interview in the diary, I know that you guys are doing that because you are non-stop at the moment.
Well, that's Anton's fault, to be honest, because I always look after him. Actually, look at him as a role model, and he doesn't have a day off. So I said, I have to be like him. Because remember, the regrets that we have today are the chances that we never took.
Never took. I that's exactly how I feel.
Well, with that in mind then, Anton, what's the place where you learnt the most about yourself, would you say?
I had a profound moment. Well, profound is too strong a word, really. But I did have a moment in Paris. Bonjour. And I was doing a competition in Paris. We did the French National Championship. And we did horribly. Like, awfully. Right down the bottom. They did a thing called a repechage. So what happens is, you do the first round of a competition. It works like you do a first round of a competition, and then a bunch of people get through, so they don't have to dance again. And then a select number of people have to dance again in order to sort of top up the ones that have got through. So if there were, let's say there were 20 people, they got 15 through, and then the rest had to dance again for those five extra places. They call it a repechage.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think for a second that I wouldn't be all the way through into the next round and then onwards into the round after that and on to go to the final. Yeah. I end up in the repechage with my partner.
With Erin?
I think it might have been with Erin in the early days of Erin. I didn't know what to do. I was so stunned by this. It felt like a career-ending moment. You know... I'm not sure it was. It might have been before Aaron. But things weren't going very well. We weren't. It wasn't. The dance terribly. The results have been awful. It's all terrible. I didn't have a penny to my name. I'm in Paris. I'm lying in a bath. This bath is the length of this table. It's not even a full-sized bath. I'm lying in this bath. My legs are up against the wall. I'm having the... And even the bath is too small for me. This is a metaphor for my life. It's all horrendous. This is a disaster. Everything was awful. And I had this conversation with myself. I went, well, this is, I'm wasting my life here. This is a waste of time. I should give this up. I said these two voices, one angels on my shoulders, and this bath. And even the water wasn't that hot. And I said, well, you're wasting your time. We give this up. And then the other side went, oh, really? You're going to give it up? What are you going to do? What else can you do? You can't do anything else. And, well, I can't carry on doing this. I'm wasting my time. This is a disaster. Look at me. I'm in a repercharge. And I was like, well, you've left it a bit late to start changing your mind now, haven't you? And I'm having this huge internal conflict in this half bath with my legs up the wall with the water going cold. And it was like a moment where I had to either go, okay, well, listen, give it up or try a bit harder.
Yeah.
You're going to have to work this out. And then I came back to the UK and started again
with a renewed drive.
No, we just changed everything and went, okay, well, this is not. I have to do something different here. And I changed my. I'm not even sure I didn't change my partner, but I changed my teachers and stuff, you know. And then
if they could see me now,
so everything changed, you know, and that was a big thing for me. Yeah. I don't know if that was a profound moment, but it was a moment where I sort of went, okay, which is quite interesting.
It is, absolutely. One thing I learned about you both during the Sicily show was that you are both amazing singers. Ooh. I didn't realise.
Amazing.
We don't like to brag.
So what I want to know is, when is the joint album coming?
Oh,
we never thought about that, but thank you for giving us an idea.
Yeah.
Christmas, here we come.
Yes, Christmas number one.
Lovely.
Christmas.
If I could get a thank you in the album.
Yeah.
Album.
Co-producer.
I think we're going to do an album. Watch this space.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've already heard like little, you know.
We should do that, actually. Christmas.
I think we're going.
Yeah.
Christmas cracker.
Okay, fantastic. You've heard it here first. Anton and Gio's Christmas cracker album.
Around the fire.
Any favourite tracks that you'd dip into immediately?
What are your favourite songs?
It was Ave Maria, wasn't it, that we heard?
It's not very Christmassy.
Oh, it is, actually.
Not too bad.
It's not too bad.
Okay. Do you want to whack in a bit of that?
Yeah, I think we could do that.
Go on.
No, not now.
No, of course I haven't warmed up.
La 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 la. I'm not warming up.
Oh, no, I haven't warmed up.
But I think, well, when you say amazing singers, I mean, it's something that I need. The thing is, I never had the confidence to be on stage and sing. But then we did the show together. Me and him, calling him and me, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Which was nominated for Olivia Awards as well. Just put out
just
there.
Saying.
Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah.
And he actually is the one who said to me, give me the courage to do it. Because he heard me singing once. And I was like, actually,
really?
It's good, it's good. And I was like, yeah. No, do come it. On. It's horrible. And it's like, no, come on. So, yeah. And now, look at me. I'm about to record an album, apparently.
And you're a pianist.
Give him an inch. Yes.
And the drummer as well.
And a drummer. Yeah. Very good drummer.
So you're going to do all the music for the album as
Forget
well.
Forget about the dancing.
What instruments do you play, Anton?
Oh, I do the spoons. I'm very good with the spoons.
And the triangle.
Triangle, yes. Triangle and the spoons. Rarely at the same time, though.
So you'll do the backing band.
Yes, I do the.
You do the tracks.
I do the tracks.
And then you could have Dave Arch doing the rest.
No, we don't.
No, we don't need Dave Arch. We go a spoon. We go a triangle. That's what we need.
Okay, so we move on, guys, to chapter 3, and that is your all-time favorite destination.
Oh.
I kind of thought it would be nice to find out what you, as a pair, collectively maybe found from your respective trips together. But I'd love to know individually also.
That's a good question. I haven't been a lot. I haven't travelled much. But I would say Thailand was a nice place to go. Maldives was nice as well.
You went to the Maldives?
I did, darling.
I've never been to the Maldives.
I know. I think we should go and enjoy the Maldives.
Why don't we go together?
Maybe that's your next series.
Budgie Smugglers at Dawn. On we go. There they go. Clenched of buttock, firm of everything else.
I will pay to see you in a budgie smuggler.
Do you wear those budgie smugglers that go up your bum, or do you have a sort of a bum canopy as well?
No, the normal ones.
The ones that... Psh,
yeah.
Oh, I'd have to have a bum canopy.
Okay, sorry, what's a bum canopy?
Well, where you... Like that, like so where the thing, it just holds your...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The one is called the thong.
Oh, a thong. A thong.
Yeah, one is thong and one is normal budgie smugglers. Yeah. Yeah. I've got the normal ones.
You ever got the thong?
No.
I see you as a thong man.
Do you?
Yeah, really? Yeah, Italian, of course.
Well, since when Italian wear thongs?
Hello? How long have you been away from Italy? You've been away too long.
I'm definitely going to start employing bum canopy for when I'm like picking my underwear for the day.
Yes, a bum canopy is vitally important.
All day.
If you get the elastic wrong, it's fishing out your bottom most of the day.
And what about you, Anton? What's your all-time favourite destination?
That I've been to?
That's to be Sicily, isn't it?
Sicily was gorgeous. Taormina is very nice. I did like Taormina. Palermo's nice.
Palermo?
Si. And... there was a fella who served me in the restaurant, lovely boy. And he does an excellent Swiss roll. Now, I tell you what, I did, we did, my wife and I, we drove down from San Francisco all the way down to LA.
Oh, once, love that.
Along the A1, they call it, or the Big Surf, whatever they call
it. The Highway 101.
That's the chappy. And we went in and we went to Carmel. Have you ever been to Carmel?
I have.
The Monterey Peninsula.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That's Carmel Valley.
That's very beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, we like that.
That's such an epic road trip, isn't it?
It is. It's fun. It's nice. Yeah, it's nice. Then we went up to the Yosemite and all that sort of stuff. But do you know a city I love? I love London. Mm. I have to be honest with you. Mm. I do love London.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love London. I love Paris is nice. Rome was nice. I enjoyed
Rome. But we can't go all around the world. The question was specific, wasn't it?
Well, I'd love to know also, though, on this forthcoming series, where was your kind of collective favourite Spanish destination that you guys went to?
Benidorm is our one.
Do you remember
if we have to suggest to people where to go, we'd definitely
recommend. Don't worry, I include all the destinations mentioned today in the episode show notes, so if anyone wants to remind themselves of your recommendations, I will make sure I include Benidorm.
Where is it? Sevilla is nice. Sevilla.
Sevilla. Yeah, which is Seville.
It's Seville.
Yes.
And we'd be debating if the people
Bill live in Seville.
It's called Sevillian. We haven't figured out yet. Because if you live in Seville... You're basically a civilian.
Civilian. I think that's probably the case.
Yeah.
What if you're a Bilbaoian?
Bilbaoian. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Did you like Bilbao? San Sebastian.
San Sebastian is beautiful.
Yeah.
Ronda was nice.
Ronda.
Madrid.
Well, it's all right. It's a bit city, isn't it?
Yeah, well.
Well, they're all cities.
But for us, for both
that
of
bridge
us.
And Ronda.
The Ronda
Bridge.
Right?
The Ronda Bridge.
We attempt to take a selfie in that bridge.
Yeah.
Went very well, I thought.
Yep.
Like a picture of a hat.
Yeah, you thought, that's the thing.
You're both still alive, so that's good.
Yes. Oh, yes, the rickety bridge. The one that you're supposed to walk along with the mountains. You like that.
We don't talk about that.
You love the bit of heights.
We don't talk about heights.
You like heights.
But I think both of us, we decided Benidorm is our favorite.
That's what you're going back to. Got it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode is supported by Airbnb, and what a great partnership. If you're a longtime listener of the Travel Diaries, you probably know that we love to put our home on Airbnb when we're traveling. Like, last autumn when we took the family to Puglia, we put our house on Airbnb when otherwise it would just be sitting empty, which meant that we earned some extra money that went towards our flights and maybe some souvenirs too. Hosting on Airbnb for us is also a family affair. My mum is an Airbnb superhost. She regularly has guests stay in her little chalet in her garden. And my dad, who lives in France, has his home on Airbnb so that when he comes back to visit, he is earning some extra money while he's away. My dad is 80 and he only started hosting on Airbnb a couple of years ago. So hopefully that shows you how straightforward the whole experience is. He found it so easy to list his house that I think he's got all his pals signing up now too. And it really is straightforward. You can choose whether you want to rent out your entire home or just some rooms. Alex and I, for example, list our spare bedroom and that works really well for us. So if you have a trip coming up and you want to earn some extra money while you're away, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.co.uk/host. That's airbnb.co.uk/host. Thank you to Airbnb. So chapter four then, guys,
yes,
is your hidden gem. So that is a place that you love that my listeners might not know so much about.
The stuff that went through his mind right then would be mostly stuff that you couldn't use, if I'm honest with you. And it's better he doesn't get around.
I think we always go around the world and places. But I think the UK, me being gone on tour a lot in the UK, I do 100 shows with my own show and literally been everywhere around the country. I have to say that you guys got beautiful, beautiful places. And one of those places that I think the listeners should go is Doncaster. It's a beautiful place, and everybody should go and experience.
Can you tell me a bit more about why you love Doncaster?
The people from Doncaster are very, very
generous.
You know, very kind, and very, 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 very nice.
I didn't expect you to say Doncaster.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody's expected Doncaster.
No, but not just Doncaster. Shrewsbury is nice as well.
Shrewsbury
by the river is nice.
Seven.
Yeah?
Seven.
The Seven Theatre.
No, the Seven River.
The Seven River. It's called the Seven Theatre as well. And
is there anywhere more abroad, do you think? With
more abroad? Yeah, sun. Inverness. Inverness.
In Scotland.
In Scotland.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. Anywhere further afield?
Yeah, Aberdeen.
Aberdeen is nice.
Oh, you mean not in the UK? Yeah, Cork is nice in Ireland.
Cork is nice.
Cork,
actually,
yeah.
Southern Ireland is nice.
Yeah, it's lovely. Lovely Cork. And then...
any more, slightly more exotic.
Exotic, yeah. The Bristol is nice. Brighton is nice as well.
I guess this is the benefit of going on all these amazing tours, isn't it?
I think he is giving you a little venue rundown of the tours there, actually.
Yeah.
But as lovely as all of those places are, is there somewhere...
Why are you interviewing me? She's interviewing me.
No, but I'm intrigued to know as well. Yeah. Is there anywhere else that's maybe not in the UK that you quite like?
Well, I did love Bangkok. Bangkok was nice. Bangkok was
Is that not a euphemism?
No.
Oh, okay, just checking.
No, Bangkok. Where is your gem?
Where is my gem?
Yeah, where is your gem? Oh,
I see. I have to be honest with you. I haven't got one. I know it's rubbish. I can't think of anywhere, really, that's a gem. So, even in South Africa.
I've been to South Africa, yeah.
Which bit?
To Koh Samui. No, that's in
Koh Samui.
Thailand. That's in Thailand. I went to South Africa for the...
Jesus, you were lost.
For that. Yes. I did safari.
I haven't been to safari in South Africa.
You have you?
No.
No.
I went to Cape Town.
I did go to Cape Town.
Nice.
Some gems in South Africa?
Yes.
So that was nice. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of somewhere else. I'll tell you what I did like. Oh, let me tell you this.
Please.
Portofino.
Nice.
Oh, beautiful.
I find my love in Portofino.
Tutto bene, grazie mille.
I'm going to ask you guys about Strictly Romances. What I want to know is...
Yeah.
there's normally one a season, right? Do people acknowledge it? Do people acknowledge it? Or do they kind of, does everyone know it but not say it?
In terms of?
Like, say, Ellie and Vito from last season.
Yes.
Like, everyone knew that they were having this, like, romantic love affair.
Oh, when you say everybody knew, you mean you.
That's what I mean. In your house.
All right. Is that what you wanted to think?
Well, yes, it is.
I don't think there is anything wrong about the strictly romance at all. It's one of those things that if you fall in love with a person you dance with and she's single or he's single, whatever, there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
It's like going on the office and falling in love with a person and working in the same room with you. It's just life.
Yeah, but I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it at all. I'm just saying, do all the other dancers like chat about it and be like, oh my God, guys?
Oh, we are way too focused on what we have to do on the Saturday night.
The thing is that you're not in the same room.
Exactly. Sometimes you
see people only on Saturday.
Because
you're in the studio on your own doing your own thing and then come together on a Saturday and then you've got the show and everyone's just a bit too tense.
And sometimes you're not even just in the same studio, sometimes in a different city. We practice in Manchester, practice in London.
Yeah.
So we see each other on the Saturday.
The irony is we don't see each other. Until the show day.
That's why you guys are so happy on the show day because you're all together.
Yeah. And then all that sort of romantic stuff is all in the press and on socials and stuff. And it's all just... So, but it's hilarious to read it and stuff.
And what's beautiful as well, people at home like all these romance things and try to think, what is it true, is it not? That's fascinating.
It's part of the fun of it, really.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
I think I've thought in every season that somebody was in love with somebody.
I'm invariably in love with people during this. I can't help myself. I'm just a sucker for it. I love him. I love always love him.
You became really emotional the last season.
I always love him.
He's getting emotional.
Yeah. I think it's me age.
Yeah.
It was quite an emotional season,
and I would say I can't wait for the next one. But we have to move on to our
chapter 5.
Well remembered, our penultimate chapter.
Mm.
And that is your worst travel experience. What was the worst thing that happened when you guys have been filming together?
Together. Mm. Wherever we go.
It's what I pitched the car, isn't it? It's what I pitched the car. Must be.
Do you know what's really interesting? This is serious. Not serious, this is absolutely true. Now you look at Giovanni, he's kind of cool. Gives it a bit of that. He's kind of stylish and sophisticated, laid back.
Thank you.
He's a guy. He gives it a lot of that. Yeah, Giovanni Panice. Yeah.
I wish you guys could see
this. You will fall in love with me in 15 seconds. Look, it has happened in 10 seconds. I'm Giovanni, I'm very fabulous. And I said, "You want to? Oh, let me drive." He said, "No, I drive. I drive the car. It's my city. I drive the car in my country."
And I'm not to drive the car.
I know how to drive the car in this country. I said, "Okay, but you drive the car." And we're going down the road, and we tried to turn around. And I said, "Don't be careful. You're going to put it in a ditch." And he goes, "No, it's fine. I drive the car. I'm a good driver." And so he beaches the car.
Yes,
he beaches the car.
I did.
This was the first time. And I said, "You beached the car." He said, "No, it's fine." I said, "You beached the car." He goes, "No." This is the first time I'd ever seen him get a... He got anxiety.
I did.
He got anxiety. Started to get a bit hot. And started to go. Even the accent slipped. He went a bit southeast London. I'd never seen it before.
You know why? I was thinking already.
Laugh so much.
What was about to come? It wasn't just the car the problem, was listening to him with the whole trip. That was the way.
Told you couldn't drive.
All the way.
Oh, but yeah, genuinely got absolutely,
it was a moment.
Anxiety attack. It was very, very funny. And then, of course, I had to get out of the car. I had to literally pick the car up with
Hercules.
Like Hercules. And then move the car back onto the road, and then he drove off and left me. First time I'd ever seen him lose any sort of.
This is cool.
He was like,
"That's my call.
Don't look me in the eye, I will become pregnant."
It was panicking.
Very funny. Panicking.
Guys,
very funny.
I have so enjoyed being transported all around the world with you.
Oh,
thank you.
Our final chapter is chapter 6, and that is the destination that is at the top of your travel bucket list, the top of your travel wish list. Where would you like to go that you've not been to yet?
I want to go to America, and specifically, I would love to go to Argentina.
That's not in America?
It is. South America.
Oh, okay.
And the reason why is because I'm a fan of Argentine tango. So I would love to go and see
you know, the, where everything started, really. They would be my place to go.
Ah, that's such a great choice.
That's how long I go with Anton.
Bello.
Seriously?
I've always wanted to go. I mean, we talked about the Maldives earlier. I've never been to Maldives. I'd love to go. But I think...
We can't do a series in Maldives.
No, very interesting. I'd love to go to... I've never been, and this would be surprising for you, but I've never been to New York.
Never been to New York.
I'd like to go to New York.
Oh, America's always been my favourite place to go. Like New York, LA, Las Vegas.
Vegas. Never been to Vegas.
Never been to Vegas.
I haven't been to Vegas.
We you never been to Vegas?
No, I haven't been to Vegas. I went to LA. We dipped in for about 4 days. Went to LA, but didn't do much.
Broadway.
We should go to Broadway, shouldn't we? We should go to New York, really. We'll do a little thing in New York. And then we'll go off to Vegas afterwards.
I think that's it.
Do a show.
That's
we'll do a show and then come back.
That's it. Fine.
Nice. And then pop down to Buenos Aires and do a tango.
There's a trip.
To promote the album.
That's a trip. That's it.
Promote the Christmas album.
To promote them. Oh. Giovanni Panice, Anton Dubec, those were your travel diaries. Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much.
Oh, well, a huge thank you to Anton and Giovanni for joining me on my first episode of the season. It was a real laugh getting to chat to them. Episode 1 of Anton and Giovanni's Adventures in Spain will air on BBC One and iPlayer on Monday, 18th of March at 9 p.m. Thanks so much for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from the podcast, don't forget to hit subscribe, or if you use Apple Podcasts, to press follow so that a new episode lands in your podcast app each week. If you want to be the first to find out who is joining me on next week's episode, come and follow me on Instagram. I'm at Holly Rubenstein, and you'll also find me on Threads and TikTok. I'd love to hear from you. Don't forget that all the destinations mentioned by my guests are included in the episode show notes here on your podcast app and listed on my website, thetraveldiariespodcast.com. Thanks again, everyone. Take care, and I'll be back next week. Today's episode is supported by Airbnb, and what a great partnership. If you're a longtime listener of the Travel Diaries, you probably know that we love to put our home on Airbnb when we're traveling. Like last autumn when we took the family to Puglia, we put our house on Airbnb when otherwise it would just be sitting empty, which meant that we earned some extra money that went towards our flights and maybe some souvenirs too. Hosting on Airbnb for us is also a family affair. My mum is an Airbnb superhost. She regularly has guests stay in her little chalet in her garden. And my dad, who lives in France, has his home on Airbnb so that when he comes back to visit, he is earning some extra money while he's away. My dad is 80 and he only started hosting on Airbnb a couple of years ago. So hopefully that shows you how straightforward the whole experience is. He found it so easy to list his house that I think he's got all his pals signing up now too. And it really is straightforward. You can choose whether you want to rent out your entire home or just some rooms. Alex and I, for example, list our spare bedroom and that works really well for us. So if you have a trip coming up and you want to earn some extra money while you're away, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.co.uk/host. That's airbnb.co.uk/host. Thank you to Airbnb.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.